Now, if you're here tonight and you see these things and love these things, it's only by the grace of God. Not anything found in you. And verse 6 says, "And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." His free, abounding, abundant grace in his kindness toward us. Not our kindness toward us. I'm not looking for folks to be kind to God. I'm looking for those to whom he has shown his kindness, the grace of his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ, not through anything you've done or are. It's through Christ. For by grace, that same grace, Noah found in the eyes of the Lord, by grace you are saved. Watch it now, through faith. We're going to work on this a little bit. Not apart from faith, not without faith, through faith. God has no unwilling children. He has no unbelieving children. Every one of them are made willing in the day of his power. Yes, they do believe. But even that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. That faith's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, go back to the text. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah. Noah. All right, here's the second statement. Being warned of God. Being warned of God. Now, God spoke to Noah. I don't know how God spoke to Noah. I don't know how God spoke to Noah, and I don't know when. I just know that Noah was an object of his affection. Noah found favor with God. Noah found grace in God's sight. God was angry. God's anger was against this old wicked world. He's going to destroy it, every creeping, every living thing. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God warned Noah. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to it. It was God who spoke to it. It was God who warned him. It was God who chose him. Now, God didn't have to choose him. God didn't have to warn him, but God, for reasons known only to himself, set his affection on Noah. And he found favor with God, and God warned him. God warned him. Now, that's the same thing God does for us. I want you to turn to John 6. John chapter 6. Now, listen, with that in mind, it was God who spoke to Noah. It's God who chose him. He found favor in God's sight, and God Almighty warned him. God Almighty taught him. God Almighty spoke to him. God spoke to him. John 6, verse 37. Now listen to this. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. All that my Father giveth me, they shall come." They'll come willingly, obediently, lovingly, believingly. They'll come. And those that come, I won't cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, not a one, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone that seeth the Son, with eyes of faith, sees him as the only righteousness and redeemer, and believes on him, there's that faith, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last days. And the Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And these religious Jews says, is this not Jesus? Is this not the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, now don't murmur among yourselves. Don't murmur against this, because no man, Noah or you or anybody else, can, is able, has the ability to come to me, to believe on me, to receive me, to even see me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, awaken him, quicken him, and I'll raise that man up the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Who spoke to Noah? God did. Who warned Noah? God did. Who taught Noah? God did. Who called us? God did. Who warned us? God did. Who taught us? God did. They shall all be taught of God, all that my Father has given me, all that come to me. And every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, he'll come to me. You see that? But Noah, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, it's God who speaks. I stand up here and speak, but it's God who speaks through his word and through his servant. Who's going to hear? Well, let's turn to John 10. Let's see who's going to hear. John chapter 10. John 10. John 10, verse 22. Want to look at this for a moment? John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came these Jews round about him, and they said to him, "How long do you keep us in the dark? How long do you make us to doubt? How long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered and said, "I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they tell you. But you don't believe my works. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I'll give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands." Why did Noah hear God when he warned him? He's one of God's sheep. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God chose him. God elected him. God set his love upon him. And then God spoke to him. How did God know he'd hear him? He gave him ears to hear. He gave him eyes to see. He gave him a heart to understand. Noah, God quickened him and made him alive. And he heard God. And look what happened. Read on. And being warned of God, here's the third thing, of things not seen. What did God speak to Noah about? He spoke to him of things he had never seen. Never seen. Like I said this morning, Noah had never seen rain. God talked to him about a flood. Noah had never even seen a puddle, let alone a flood. At that time, the world, as I understand it, was watered by a mist. And not by downpour of rain. Noah had never seen rain. He'd never seen a flood. Noah, I don't think, had ever seen a ship. He certainly had never seen the world destroyed. He'd never seen everything around him and everybody around him drown. So God, Noah found grace in the eyes of God's destruction, God's wrath to fall upon the earth. Something that had never happened before. And this man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God spoke to him. God warned him. But God warned him and spoke to him about things he'd never seen. But see, so like we're talking this morning, that's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Faith is the proof of things not seen. One other, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. Things not, and Noah believed God. When God talked to him about wrath and judgment and rain and floods and a ship and destruction and death and deliverance and the mighty salvation of God in an ark, he believed God. He believed it. Though he never seen any of it. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4, 18. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen, everything you see, are temporal. Am I right? All right, let's just take that into consideration, man. Let's look. You're looking at me. I'm temporal. See my pretty striped tie? They're temporal. This microphone is wearing out now. That thing, everything you see is temporal. Look at your wife next to you. She's going too. Even this world, God's going. Everything you see is temporal. Well, what's going to last, preacher?
The things which you're not seen.
You don't see God tonight, do you? But He's eternal. You don't see the Holy Spirit, do you? He's eternal. You don't see our blessed Redeemer, do you? He's eternal. You don't see heaven's showers, do you? They're there. They're eternal. Nothing this flesh sees is eternal, but the things which are not seen. And that's what God warned Noah about, the things that were not seen, and all that our God has told us, and God has spoken to us. The Noahs of 1989, God has spoken to us, and all that God has spoken to us about is things that we don't see. Salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, the coming of our Lord, the resurrection of the dead. All these things are not seen. We've not seen them.
But I tell you this, we have more information than Noah had. A lot more than Noah had.
Because we talk about one rising from the dead, one dead. Somebody said one time, preacher, if someone would come down from heaven and tell us about what's on the other side, I'd believe him. One dead. He said, I came from my Father, and I speak the things of my Father. Well, if one could die and be buried and come back and talk to us, I'd believe.
He did.
And they denied him. That's right. He did. All right, look at the next line here. By faith, Noah, ordinary, plain old Noah, but he was warned of God. He found grace in the eyes of God. God spoke to him, and God spoke to him about things he'd never seen. And you know what it did?
Noah moved.
I like that. He moved. He moved. He moved. He moved with fear. He moved with fear. Oh, I tell you, Noah believed God, and Noah got busy. He moved with fear, and he got busy doing what God says. I know this. We're saved by grace, but not without faith. We're saved by grace, but not without response. We're saved by God, by grace, but not without believing God. We're saved by grace, but not without acting on faith. That's right. Faith alone justifies, but true faith, saving faith, moves, obeys, and acts. And that faith is justified by works. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 2. Now listen to it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to this now. It says here in verse 14. James 2:14. Now listen to it. Now what shall it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can that kind of faith save him? Can faith without works save? Faith without obedience? You reckon Noah would have been saved if he hadn't built the ark? You reckon Abraham would have been saved if he hadn't obeyed God and come out of his father's house? No, sir. No, sir. If a brother or a sister be destitute, naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say, well, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled and I'll pray for you. And yet you don't give him anything that's needful to the body, what does it profit? He'll still freeze. He'll still starve. He needs food. Even so, faith, if it hath works, can't clothe that man. Faith can't clothe that man. Faith won't feed him. Works clothes him and feeds him. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone, and a man may say, well, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith. Show me your faith. How do you show faith? By works. That's how you show faith. You see, our souls are justified by faith. By grace, by faith, our souls are justified. Our faith is justified by works. That's how you prove you believe God. That's how you show you believe God. That's how it's seen that you believe God. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love. If you don't love, you're not my disciple. Faith always produces works. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? So Noah moved. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God warned him. God spoke to him. And God spoke to him about things he'd never seen, never even imagined, couldn't even comprehend, but he believed God. How do I know he believed God? He moved. He moved. And he moved with fear. He moved with reverence. He moved with respect. He moved with awe. He moved. He acted. Just tell me what to do, Lord. I'll do it. Tell me your word. I'll act on it. And watch this next thing. To the saving of his house. Oh, I tell you, this is the faith that saves. This is the faith that saves, believing God. I tell you, I want this house here to be saved. I hear old, what's his name, singing about this old house. Well, I want this old house saved, don't you? Well, how's this old house going to be saved?
By believing God, with a justifying faith.
By believing God. And I want this house that of my own family to be saved. And I want this house to be saved. And I'll tell you this. This house will be saved if we can believe God.
Do you know that?
That's how Noah's house was saved. He believed God. Warned of God of things not seen, but he moved with fear before God, and he prepared that ark to the saving of his house. Now watch the sixth thing. That was the fifth. Here's the sixth thing. Here are twofold
results of Noah's faith.
A twofold result. Here's a man that believed God. Here's a man not wrapped up in the tradition of his fathers, not wrapped up in the customs of his day. Here's a maverick. Here's a rebel. Here's a different man. Here's a man that believes God, dares to believe God. And I'll show you the results of that faith. Number one, by the which, that is, by that faith in God, he condemned the world. By that faith. His faith in the Word of God, his faith in the words of God, his faith and his works added to the judgment that was already upon the people around him. Noah's faith condemned his neighbor and condemned everybody else. It condemned them. It added to their condemnation.
It made their unbelief and their wickedness more wicked, and it made it more obvious.
Made it more obvious. That's right. They were probably religious like our day. Men have always been religious. Go over in Africa or China or India or anywhere, and people not worshiping God, but they're worshiping gods. They're all religious. And Noah's day was religious, but Noah believed the living God. Noah knew the living God. Noah heard from the living God. Noah's faith in the living God added to the condemnation and exposed the wickedness of even the religion round about him. And I'll tell you this. If you are one of these Noahs who have been chosen of God, taught of God, warned of God about things not seen, things you can't explain, things you can't even comprehend, things you can't even put in words, the things God has prepared for them that love him, which the natural religious eye of men cannot see. And this preacher and this church and other little churches round about us that believe God, these churches preaching the gospel and people of faith
make modern religion to be more obvious, obviously wicked, and obviously ungodly than if we didn't exist.
That's right. It condemns them. That bulletin board out there that has scripture on it condemns all these little bulletin boards with their silly cliches. That's right. And this message we preach on television that exalts God and gives honor and glory to God and teaches the Word of God and the truth of God and the real salvation of God, it condemns every other program round about it. They're responsible. It makes them more responsible. It makes their foolishness even more foolish. It makes their wickedness even more wicked. Men shall be held responsible for what they heard and what they could have heard if they would have heard it.
Right.
If they would have tried to hear it. Noah condemned his generation. That's what it says here. By the faith, by the which, that faith, he condemned the world. He condemned them. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's right, a preacher of righteousness, but nobody paid attention to it. Nobody. But they knew a prophet had been among them, because his faith in God condemned those round about him. But there's something else his faith accomplished.
By the which he condemned the world, and by the which he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Brother Roach was reading to me. Well, I didn't call you old Brother Roach. That's just a common expression. Old Brother Mayan. I was listening to a preacher on tape one day. I was riding along, Darson, I was riding along the highway, and this young preacher, friend of mine, was preaching, and he says, like old Brother Mayan said, and he went on, and I said, what did he say?
She said, you heard him. I said, well, turn it back. I said, that
sorry thing. But Cecil read here, all these once were sinners, defiled in his sight, now arrayed in pure garments, in praise they unite, in pure garments. Noah's faith robed him and clothed him in the holy righteousness of Jesus Christ. By that faith. That's the reason I said we're
handling some heavy material here. Some awful heavy material. Awful heavy. It was faith. He didn't just wake up one morning and find out he was saved. God showed grace to him and he found favor in God's sight, but God spoke to him, and Noah heard God,
and Noah acted. He acted to the saving of his house. And by that action,
by that faith, he condemned everybody around him. But not only that, by that faith, he became an heir to the very righteousness of God Almighty, which is by faith. That's what that chapter is all about. All right, you look at the next verse, you see the same message. By faith, Abraham. Well, who's Abraham? You know who Abraham is? He was down there in Ur of the Chaldees, and he was an idol worshiper. He was 75 years old, living in a commune with his father and all their kinfolks, the whole outfit, and they were all idol worshipers. Is that right? Am I telling the truth? Idol worshipers. And Abraham found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You were an idol worshiper. And you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He could have passed you by. Same thing true of you, Terrence. Stan, same thing true of you. He found you, and you found, just like Abraham, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at the next line. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Who called him? Chip, who called him? God called him. If God hadn't called him, he'd still been there. And if God hadn't supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, called you, you'd still be where you are. You may still go back because it may not be God who called you. Maybe I did it. Maybe Mama did it. Maybe one of your friends did it. But I tell you, if God called you, that's a white horse of another color. And you'll wind up on the other side if he called you. Because he never calls in vain, does he? He never does. By faith, Abraham, by faith, when he was called.
When he was called to go out to a place which he should afterward receive as an inheritance.
Did he know about the place? No. Had he seen a brochure on it? No. Had he ever seen it? No. Had he ever talked to anybody who had been there? No. Did he know it was there?
Only by the word of God. Isn't that right? Things not seen.
Things not seen. But he left. 75 years old, got his wife and packed a camel and a burro, and away they went. God called him. I tell you this. This is what I know. I'm not being hard. I just know when God sets his affections on a man or a woman and God calls them by his word and God extends that effectual, quickening, regenerating call of the Holy Spirit, they move. They move. They don't sit around and debate and argue and find out how it can be done. They just move. They just move. What did he do? It says here, he obeyed. He obeyed God, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Well, Brother Mann, if you'll give me some guarantees and show me a picture and prove it. I can't prove it.
Faith is the proof. Isn't that what you said, John? Faith is the proof.
All right, read on. And by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. Do you know that Abraham never owned any of the land God promised him? But he lived in tents. He dwelt in tabernacles, that's tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, because he was looking for a city. It wasn't an earthly land he was looking for. It wasn't an earthly abode. It wasn't a temporary thing. He was looking for a city which hath eternal, everlasting foundations that'll never be moved, whose builder and maker is God. That's the faith. Turn to Romans 4 and let's read just a little bit about his faith here and see how it relates to us. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 verse 19. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him, just like to Noah, for righteousness, that righteousness which is by faith. Now it was written, it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And his resurrection is proof of his acceptance and of the effectual work he performed, who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Now let me show you something in the next two verses. Verse 11 and 12. Through faith also, through faith. Now, I don't understand. I can't explain this now, just like I can't explain how God created the world out of nothing. I can't explain Adam's fall. I can't explain Christ's incarnation. I can't explain these unseen, mysterious, marvelous things of God. But I do know that though God chose Abraham, Abraham had to act in faith. Though God chose Noah, found favor in God's sight, Noah had to build that ark. He had to act. He had to move. And though God gave a son to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, it was by faith. It's by the act of God. It's by the will of God. It's by the grace of God. It's by the favor of God. But it was by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now watch this. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she was delivered of a child when she was past age, 90 some odd years old, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, this is Abraham, and him as good as dead. Now watch these words, past age, as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sands which are by the seashore innumerable. Now here's a man, 100 years old, as good as dead. A woman, 90 years old, God said, past age. All hope of bearing children gone. But through faith in God. Through faith in God. Faith in the promise of God. Faith in the purpose of God. It's God who decreed it. They believed it. God who determined it, They believed it. It's God who purposed it. It's God who brought it to pass. But they believed. And there came from them a kingdom, a host of people like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, because they believed God. All right, here I am. Describe me as you will. It doesn't matter. Like Brother Barnard said about me one time, he said, I ain't called him yet what he really is. But in me, there's no power, there's no strength, there's no hope in me. I am a born of woman, I'm dying, I'm a dying man, I'm going to be buried and go back to the dust. I have no power at all to do any of these things. I am nothing, know nothing, have nothing, can do nothing. From dust thou art, to dust I shall return. But one day, by the power of God, by the decree of God, by the will of God, by the grace of God, I'm going to be like Christ Jesus. One day, by the power of God, by the will of God, by the grace of God, I'm going to be in glory with an everlasting body, with an immortal body, with an incorruptible body, with an incorruptible soul, just like Jesus Christ. How's that going to happen, preacher? By the power of God and the power of faith. I believe it. I'm going to be there because God decreed it. I'm going to be there because I believed it. Just like Abraham and Sarah, dead, past age. But they gave birth to a crying little baby boy, a pink, plump baby boy. Somebody said, that's impossible. That's exactly right. But they believed God. They believed God. And one of these days, I'm going to stand in glory just like the Savior. You say, that's impossible.
No, it's not either. It can be done by the power of God through faith.
Now, let me read you a scripture. You probably read it and never paid any attention to it, but I'm going to slow down on this now and wind it up. Matthew 25. Now, this is important. It shows importance of faith, acting in faith, acting on the Word of God. Now, I'm not a hard shell, and I think hard shellism and fatalism is as deadly as Arminianism. I wouldn't turn my hand for either one. Somebody says it's all of man. God's done all he can do, and that's up to you. That's wrong. But this thing, it says God will save you whether you believe or not, whether you hear the gospel or not, whether you follow him or not, that's wrong too. It's both wrong. Both deadly. Both put you in hell is what the both will do. Now, I want you to watch this. Matthew 25, verse 14. I've never preached a message on this here in this church. Maybe it's all saved up for right now. Verse 14, Matthew 25. Now, the kingdom of heaven, this is Christ speaking, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. He acted on his ability, acted on his knowledge, acted on his gifts. Likewise, he that had received 2, he gained 2 more. But he that received 1 went and digged the hole in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Well, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and he reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained besides them 5 talents more. I acted on the gift you gave me, the knowledge you gave me, the gifts, talents you gave me. I've used them. You gave them to me. They were free now. He gave them to me. I didn't earn them. I didn't ask for them. I didn't merit them. You gave them to me, but I used them. I got 5 more. And his Lord said, well done. That is good, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. 5 talents, not much. But I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 more. I believed you. I received them. I acted on the gifts. I acted on the talents. I acted on what you gave me. I put in use what you put in me and in my hand. His Lord said,
"That's good. Well done." Verse 23. "Good and faithful servant.
You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he which had received the one talent came and said, "Lord,
I know you're a hard man.
I know you're sovereign, absolute ruler. I know you control all things. I know you're a hard man. Watch it now. I know you reap where you don't sow. I hear people say, God say, with or without me. You reap where you don't sow. You gather where you've not strawed. All things in your hand. You control all things. You manipulate all things, even the wicked, for the day of your power. So I was afraid. And I went and hid that talent in the earth. And here's what you gave me. Lo, here thou hast that is thine."
And his Lord said unto him, "You're a wicked and lazy serpent. You knew I reap where I sowed not."
He didn't deny it. God'll do what he will. That's right. John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The Lord Jesus walked through the cornfield on the Sabbath day and picked corn and healed a man on the Sabbath day. He'll do what he will. He didn't deny that. He didn't deny he was absolute sovereign king. He didn't deny that. He didn't deny he was in control, did he? He said, "You knew I reaped where I sowed not, and you gathered where I've, and I gather where I'm not strong. But you ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers at least. And then at my coming I'd receive my own with interest." Usurer's interest.
"Take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one who has ten. For everyone that hath, to him shall be given."
Those people that hear and obey and act on the what God's taught them and act on the gifts God's given them, act on the information God's given them, and act. You see what I'm saying, Jim? See what Christ said? "Those who have, to them shall be given. And he shall have an abundance, even walk in the light God gives you, and he'll give you more light. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has." Every man, every woman in this town has heard something about God, something about the Bible. Have they acted on it? Have they responded? Have they believed? Have they followed him? Have they put it to use? No, sir. And God's going to take away what to do now. Their light will be turned into darkness. That's right. And they'll believe a lie and be damned for believing a lie. "And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now take that scripture and read it again. Yes, sir, God's on the throne. And he'll do what he will. But when God puts some knowledge in a man and some gifts in a man's hands and some information, like Noah, he better move. He better move. Like Abraham, he better move. That's what he's saying. And Sarah and Abraham, God said, "You're going to have a son." But they believed God. Abraham believed God. And he had a son. Can you believe? Can I believe God? One thing more. Verse 13. These all died in faith. They all died. Even though God chose them, they died just like everybody else. Even though they believed God, they still died like everybody else. Even though these people obeyed God, they died like everybody else. They died. These all died. But thank God they died in faith. They lived in faith. And you know something? They never got beyond faith. Abraham lived, be over 150 years old. I'll be something like that. But he died where? Right where he started, believing God. He died in faith. He died like everybody else. And he died in faith. He died believing God. But he never died elevated to beyond faith. He never died elevated to a higher ground. He died right where he started, believing God. He died in faith. He died in faith. died in faith. Oh, let my latter end be like theirs. Let me die the death of the righteous in Christ. Let me, God, die in faith, believe in God. I hope that I've made some things clear tonight from this scripture, which are clear to me, that all things are of God. All things, all glory, credit, praise is due unto Him. He chose me. But I do believe now. I know faith is the gift of God, but it's a responding gift. Isn't that right? It's an obedient gift. And anything else, that hiding that thing in the ground, so, well, he's going to save me no matter what. You better watch it. That won't do. It's when God says something, act on it. When you come to knowledge of something, act on it. Isn't that right? Believe God.